It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
Anyone home? Hello? Oh, wait a minute. Let me put my earbuds in here. I can hear things. Brouhaha. Joining us now is beer writer Jay Brooks. Jay, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
It is the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha, today featuring some guys from Oliver's Market. They're doing their own beer, and they'll be in a bit right now, of course, my co-host on Brouhaha, Mark Carpenter and her Linda.
Cheers.
How we doing?
All right. And Jay Brooks, give us your history, your background. tell us all about the life of Jay Brooks.
Well, I'll have to slow it down a make it a little shorter. I've been writing about beer nearly 30 years. Been in the Bay Area that
long.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. I'm a co-founder of San Francisco Beer Week. I do a syndicated newspaper column in the Bay Area here. We launched a new initiative or social movement, I guess. We're calling Flagship February with an idea toward kind of shining a light on the beers that got us here, the beers that aren't as sexy and people sometimes tend to forget when there's brute IPAs and glitter beers and milkshake and a new different beer every week. And we love all those beers, but we also wanted to kind of pause and take a moment and kind of remember some of the classics that made the beer industry, that allowed for all these amazing beers that we have today.
Well, one of those would be Anchor in San Francisco, and Mark Carpenter, who started at Anchor in 71.
Exactly.
But what are some of the other ones?
We define a flagship as a brewery's kind of, if you think of any brewery's name, what's the first beer you think of? What's the beer that's associated with that brewery? It's usually their best-selling beer, not always, sometimes, but things like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Allagash White, Stone's Arrogant Bastard, Firestone DBA, Deschutes Black Butte Porter, New Belgium Fat Tire.
Deschutes,
yep.
I'm not familiar with them.
No, they're in Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
They were one of the few breweries in the U.S. that had a dark beer as their flagship, and I think it was rather unexpected. I think their customers decided for them. They didn't think that was going to be their best-selling beer, but it ended up doing really well for them and paid the bills.
So, as a beer writer,
yes.
What does that mean exactly? I mean, are you you've written books? I'm
I have. Yep.
Yes. He drinks and writes.
I've written several books, contributed to even more. I write for magazines. I do a newspaper column every 2 weeks. I am also a judge. I go around the world and judge beer competitions. That's part of it, and that it's also provides research of more things to write about. So,
where do you live?
I live in Cotati, just a little south of here.
Cotati. Yeah. Mike, Google Cotati.
you won't find anything.
I used to live there. I love Cotati.
It's great.
How long you been there?
I've been there about 6 years now.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Kids?
Well, it's almost as good as being a brewer, you know? I mean, not only do you get free beer, but you get a variety of free beers when you're a writer.
That is true.
And Jay's done a good job over the years, and people should subscribe to his newsletter to see what's going on.
The Brookston Bulletin.
Yep. Brookston Beer Bulletin,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, grab the mic condom from that one and put it on yours, please. Thank you. We practice safe radio here.
And then,
all right, and Herlinda, go ahead.
Well, so we invited Jay on to talk about Flagship February, which I was actually really excited when I found out, you know, that this was going to be happening, because there was an article that was, it's okay to drink the same beer twice, because
right.
Everybody wants, like, you know, like he was saying, like the new beers and the glitter beers and all this other stuff, but, you know, we've got, you know, Anchor Steam and, you know, Bear Republic Racer 5, right? You know, we've got the brewer, you know, that brewed at Anchor Steam, like right here in the studio and in Sonoma County. We've had Ken Grossman from Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and Allagash White's been one of my favorites for years. And I think it's really important to, like, have your standard, well-done, consistently good quality beers, because as Garrett Oliver was saying the other day, that there's a lot of mediocre beers in, like, flashy labels now, but, you know, just brew good beer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it just felt like there wasn't a lot of attention being paid to these just absolutely terrific beers that you can sit and drink and be happy with over and over. You don't need to go for something else all the time. You know, sometimes you want something that's familiar.
I don't know how many times we've had other like breweries in and brewers and even distillers who to say Anchor Steam was their first beer or the first beer that got them really into beer. And, you know, here's Mark with a big tall one in front of him.
One thing, I mean, when you live in this area, I think Jay will go along with this, that we have so many beers and so many good beers around, Steve, Garrett Oliver says there's a lot of mediocre beers. Well, maybe back in Brooklyn, but there are not a lot of mediocre beers around here.
That's true. We have an embarrassment of riches in the Bay Area.
Really.
No doubt.
Without question. Yeah. It's amazing.
And Anchor truly led the way, and it was it's only in hindsight that I realized that I was kind of part of that movement, because I went there just to get a job, and it was just an unbelievable great place to work and to make beer. When I started there, most of my friends thought I was nuts, they hadn't even heard of it. They wondered what I was doing. Then somewhere about the 80s and 90s, they kind of got the picture.
Back in 1971, you started.
Yes, yeah. Correct. 1971, I started there.
About as flagship as you can get.
Yeah, there were only three of us in the brewery, and it was the most charming little tap room that you could imagine. It was just fabulous, and we all had keys to the brewery, so we could go in there late at night and have a beer whenever we wanted. And it was a charming place, and Fritz made it that way. And then it was only steam beer when I started.
Right.
Now we got Liberty Ale, which was
one of my favorites.
Development, yeah, fabulous beer. And I've often said on this show that people should not forget Liberty Ale and not forget Sierra Pale Ale.
Yep.
Too often they want to move on right to the IPAs.
Well, Herlinda, you mentioned that that it's often somebody's first encounter with a good beer, and it's funny you mentioned that. One of the features that we're doing with Flagship February, and it's we have a website up, and it's flagshipfebruary.com, and every day we got 28 writers from around the world, a lot of well-known writers,
including our own Tara Nuren.
Exactly. And each day we're posting a new story by one of those writers about one of these flagship beers, and inevitably it's about their first encounter with that beer and what it meant to them.
This is fascinating stuff. Beer writer Jay Brooks is with us. Of course, Herlinda and Mark Carpenter. It is the Hop Monk Drive Brouhaha, brought to you also by Willoughby's. Willoughby's Wine and Spirits, but it's so much more.
Yeah, we love that place. They're doing tastings there for whether it's whiskey, wine, or beer, almost every Friday and Saturday for either a minimum price or free. And if there is a charge for it, they put it towards the price of the – if you buy something.
Yeah. And don't forget the cigar room with Valentine's Day coming up.
Isn't that what you get for your wife?
Of course.
I should point out you should be getting beer for Valentine's Day, too. There's plenty of good beers for
that. He'll do that, too. Honey, here's a beer and a cigar. Okay, there you go.
Hey, what more could she want?
Exactly.
That's love.
Willoughby's in Petaluma and Santa Rosa.
We love them.
Our guest today on the drive, Hop Monk Brouhaha, also brought to you by Willoughby's. Beer writer Jay Brooks, back with us. You've got books, you write magazine articles, you write, and you live in Cotati. I love that. Now, what is
it's
all?
A great town.
Mike took a photo. Now, we've been doing this 5 years, the Drive Brouhaha. In fact, Herlinda said today is our fifth anniversary.
It is our five-year anniversary.
Wow.
And we have lots of beers to celebrate.
Okay, Mike took a photo of all the beers in this new studio, and it is pretty outrageous. The gentlemen from Oliver's are with us. Real food, real people, and now real beer. Guys, welcome.
So
Introduce everybody.
Well, when we first started the show 5 years ago, Steve, I used to work for Oliver's many years ago, and I talked to Steve about hey, I really want to do some cheeses on the show with different beers that we're doing. So I used to go into Cotati, and I met Wade, and Wade Johnson is here. He's a gourmet cheese department manager at the Oliver's Market Cotati, and he knew his cheese and beer. So I would tell him who was coming in, what kind of styles, and he'd have me taste a few things, and he knew oh, I think this would be good. And so we had a really good time with that. So Wade's here. And then Sean Riley is assistant store director for Oliver's Market Windsor. You're also the tavern manager. A lot of people don't know Windsor has a tavern. You can go in and there's beers on tap and everything, right? And you guys have your own first Oliver's private label beer.
That is totally cool. And, you know, we all love Oliver's. Talk about this whole situation with the Oliver's beer. What's going on here?
Well, we've got four beers that we've brewed. Or not we've brewed. A local brewery has brewed for us. We have a Pilsner. We have a rotating hop pale ale, a hazy IPA, and a porter. And that's our core to start with. We'll be rolling out some seasonal beers probably March, April, which will be interesting. We're talking about an Imperial Stout and a lager as the first two rotating seasonal beers.
What was the motivation to do your own beers?
We've had our own wine for about three years that we've had local wineries produce for us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so naturally, beer was the next thing on the list. We live in beer country in Sonoma County.
Right.
And so it was just the next natural choice.
Very good. And you would go to the breweries and verify the recipes and take part in making them?
Correct. Our wine and spirits buyer, Richard, actually worked with a local brewery to produce for us.
Oh, cool. Very good. Very good.
So we're looking at flagship beers here, too. So how did, like, these kind of flagship beers, like, you know, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Anchor Steam, you know, Allagash White. Did you, like, taste a lot of beer before you guys decided what styles you wanted to have as your private labels? Like, did you, like, look at some of these classics for – because you got some kind of classics, sort of,
except for Hazy. I think that the goal was to try and appeal to all tastes because if you look at a lot of the trends, you'll see a ton of, like, Hazy IPAs, Milkshake IPAs, these things that float in and out. And we wanted to try and appeal to a large crowd. And if anybody that's a beer consumer wanted to buy a beer from Oliver's, they have a choice that they can select from our own beer.
So, again, explain how you guys and where you guys are making these beers.
We've been sworn to secrecy.
Okay, no problem. So have I.
They're made local in Sonoma County.
I'm Stan Johnson, and this is The Drive. I'd give you my real name, but I can't. But Wade and Sean are here from Oliver's. And you have brought some cheese and things to do a little cheese and beer tasting on the Drive Brouhaha. Talk about that.
So I brought four cheeses for the four beers with a wide variety from all over the world. We have one classic Basque-style cheese from France. We have a goat's milk Gouda. We have a locally produced washed rind. And then a blue cheese that all appeal to different flavor profiles and, you know, personal preference. And I'm really excited to go through the lineup with you guys and try them out and have a good time.
You told me before we got back on the air that you have laid this out on the plate, and we start at midnight and move clockwise. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So what's this first one? This is killer.
This is a Basque cheese, French, called Secret de Compostelle.
Wow.
Extreme balance, wonderful, creamy mouthfeel. When paired with the Pilsner, it brings out this really unique kind of sweet finish. You almost get, you know, hints of like oat on the finish. And that's kind of what I look for when I pair, is I want two separate items that don't just taste okay together, but they do different things for each other. And the final result is a flavor that's in neither of the two things originally.
Oops, there goes his cheese. How fun to have Jay Brooks and Mark Carpenter tasting the new Oliver's beers and doing this pairing with you guys as well. So what do you think, Jay?
Well, the pairing's really excellent. Yeah. That certainly helps. I do like the Pilsner. It's pretty clean.
Very clean. Very crisp. Yeah. Very easy to drink.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's nice. That's really good with this cheese.
The nuts, guys. The nuts. I love nuts. I work with nothing but nuts. So what are some of these nuts? God, I mean, they go so well with the cheese and the beer.
I don't actually have the recipe for the nuts. They're made at our Windsor location, though. There are spicy bar nuts that we serve in our tavern.
Okay.
And you can buy them in, like, a big thing, right?
You can buy them in our bulk departments at all four locations. We roast them up in the Windsor location and send them out.
Wade and Sean here from Oliver's. They've got their own new their beers that they're making, and we're doing a little cheese and beer tasting.
Oh, my God, these nuts are good. All these are delicious.
All right. What's the – okay, now I'm at 3 o'clock here on the plate.
All right, so today...
Well, we need the pale ale if we're going to have some.
Okay.
So at 3 o'clock, we have the pale ale with a young goat's milk Gouda. So, you know, our pale is, you know, a pretty straightforward pale ale, a little fruity. And then when you put it together with something kind of bright and tangy like this goat cheese, you get a really unique kind of combination of flavor that almost reminds me of like a sweet and salty finish, a little fruity, really, really, really bright, like wide range of flavors going on all at once.
Oh, man.
It smells like pot.
Yeah. Everything smells like pot to you.
Smell it, though. Smell it.
I think it's the dress you're wearing and whatever you've been doing beforehand. I don't know. Okay.
Smells good.
And I don't want to run out of time here, so.
It's a nice goaty cheese. I should have had the beer first without it. I'm trying now. I got to cleanse my mouth. But it's a great aroma to the beer.
Mm-hmm. What is this? Is this like a brie of some sort?
It's a wash rind from Cowgirl Creamery, the Red Hawk.
Ah, we love them.
That's my favorite beer cheese.
That's a really, really big cheese, so I would recommend doing that one with the IPA. They go together quite well.
Oh, God, that's good.
Let's jump on it. What do you think, Jay?
Of the pale? Mm-hmm. It's nice. Some real grassy onion notes, which seems to work well with the cheese as well.
Mm-hmm. And
this particular pale will be a rotating hop. This hop particular is a Zaka in this pale, and gotcha. So as we do another batch of it, we'll change the hop. So
a single hop there, then.
Correct, yes.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay, and the delicious. Blue cheese, did you say? I'm such a blue cheese guy, Gorgonzola blue
He's
cheese.
He's way ahead.
You're jumping ahead there, boss.
Hell yeah.
He likes the cheese.
I can't help myself.
So this blue cheese is produced by Rogue Creamery, a wonderful producer in Oregon. And this one pairs amazingly with our porter. What makes this blue unique is it's smoked over hazelnut shells. So when I think porter, our porter is kind of smoky and it's kind of nutty. And you get some cacao nibs. Now, blue cheese goes with cacao, and the cheese itself is smoky and nutty. So it's just a perfect marriage of flavor. Unbelievable.
Okay, I think that we're on the IPA beer, though, right now, right? Yes. So that goes with
I don't care.
The red
That's all I need is the cheese.
You're right. It is a good cheese.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Red Hawk has always been my favorite beer cheese. And local, which is amazing.
So, guys, what's the deal with Oliver's now, our good friends over there? The beers are available. You're going to be expanding it. Apparently?
Yes, we'll have up to two seasonals at one at any given time. Right now, we've got all these varieties here that we have in the studio with us, the Pilsner, the Pale Ale, the Hazy IPA, and the Porter, available to go in four packs of 16-ounce cans. And we also have the Pale Ale on draft in the tavern right now up in Windsor exclusively.
Oliver's Market, folks. You know... how much we love, everybody loves Oliver's, and now they're doing all these beers, and the cheese department, dude, is top-notch.
We take our cheese very, very seriously.
Yeah, and you do, and well, you should. Beer writer Jay Brooks is here. This is SF Beer Week.
It is.
We had, I don't know, yesterday, was it? We had Gray Rollin from Belly.
And Fog Belt.
And Fog Belt, because they're doing a whole thing all week. And a friend of mine, I told a friend of mine, hey, yeah, get over to Belly, man. They're doing this whole beer week with Fog Belt, and it's, you know, it's such a great place. He hadn't been there yet. He got there, and he told me yesterday, he said, there was like 300,000 people there. We wound up having sushi because we couldn't get in. But Jay, that's talk great. About SF Beer Week. It's become a huge
deal. It really has exceeded our wildest expectations. This is the 11th one. We started it in 2009.
And you were one of the founders.
I was one of the co-founders, yeah. We had no idea it was going to grow like this. I think we struggled to get about 100-120 events that first year. I think we're in the 800-900 range this year.
And it's all over the Bay Area.
All over the Bay Area, exactly right. There's something for everybody and everywhere, all over the area.
I went to a killer beer dinner last night. Yeah. Brooklyn Brewery has just come into California for the first time in 31 years, and I went to a dinner at Sessions at the Presidio. And so these high-end beer dinners are just getting like – going like wildfire. It was sold out like almost immediately.
No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so Of course, cheese and beer is always good, too. This is really – so we had the porter, too. But so – and then, you know, I thought it would be fun to have these young whippersnappers from Oliver's try a flagship beer and, you know, like see it through their eyes.
Sure.
And nose and taste. What do you think? You want to open that up, Jay?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God. So now we got the porter and this blue cheese.
I don't care. I'm sorry. I just ate all the cheese without beer. This cheese is amazing.
Oh, here, this is the Allagash White, which was our featured beer, I believe, yesterday. One of our writers actually has a degree in cartooning, and she draws all of her reviews.
Cool.
Emily Souter.
Degree in cartooning?
You can, absolutely. And she has one, and she's quite talented. And she has a blog called Pints and Panels, where she does all of her reviews. And she did one of Allagash White for our Flagship February. And if you go to flagshipfebruary.com, you can find her cartoon about the white and learn about her thoughts on her review on it.
Take a look.
Our guest today, our beer writer, renowned beer writer, Jay Brooks. Also, Wade and Sean from Oliver's, they're doing their own beers, and we just had some amazing cheeses that you can get at Oliver's, and we did kind of a cheese and beer tasting. So everything, you guys, as far as the beer, is available now at Oliver's.
Correct, yes.
So cans and on draft?
Yeah, only one on draft right now. The pale ale is the only available
at the
on draft.
And the only place you have the tavern on draft is the Windsor location, right?
Yes.
Any plans to do a tap room at the other ones? It would be so... Oh, look at that. Look at his face. That would be too so.
He's smiling big time.
I was going to say, Katsadi would be fun, but yeah. I don't know where they'd put it.
It's so close to the university. They don't need the other stores there, right?
Oh. Wow. And Cheese Man.
Cheese Man, that's me.
How long you been doing the cheese at Oliver's?
I've been a humble cheeseman for about 9 years.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. I love it. You know, especially with beer, you get such a unique experience with these like high fat foods like cheese, the salt, and then something carbonated and sweet
with
and bitter
beer,
like beer. Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, Mr. Beer Writer Jay Brooks, what are you up to? What's coming out soon? Any new books?
I'm about to sign a contract to write a book on the history of brewing in Sonoma County. Actually,
really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Going back to Grace Brothers, which was actually the first,
of course,
and up to the present. So,
oh, very cool.
I'd be really wanting to get somebody from Grace Brothers on the show if you can.
Rich Norgrove is your connection for
that. Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, and we only got a minute here, but the Grace Brothers started everything in Santa Rosa, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Now, how long ago and what did they do?
I don't remember the exact year. It was mid 1800s, 1860, 70, 80, somewhere in there.
I remember I was there.
They were still going into the 60s, and
Fritz
Maytag used to get yeast from them from time to time.
Really?
For Anchor Steam.
And they were in Railroad Square, that building, right? The Grace Brothers? I mean, that was their last place.
I think it's the old, what's the hotel there now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Where the Hyatt is?
It was in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Where the Hyatt is?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty amazing story.
They bought a lot of their beer. It was always the cheapest. And that's the problem with these small breweries. That caused so many of them to go out of business.
Yeah, that was the inspiration for one of the Russian River beers, Happy Hops.
Yeah.
In fact, they used the artwork from the Grace Brothers. So.
Well, Jay Brooks, great to see you, man. And you need to come in more often. I'd forgotten you lived in Katati. So.
I do. I'm available anytime.
I pull them in when I can. Yeah.
Have beer, we'll travel.
And, by the way, folks, check out the new beers brought to you by Oliver's. This is very cool, and they're all available there, and there'll be new ones coming. And then don't forget to check out the cheese at Oliver's. Wade and Sean are here, and great to see you guys. Thanks.
Thanks
so
for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congratulations.
What are we doing next week? Do we know?
Next week.
I don't know what I'm doing in the next 10 minutes, but
we'll be drinking a beer.
I will be.
I'm sure. It'll be a good beer.
Yes. Yeah.
I have some. I'm blanking right now, but I'll be in Italy. I will make sure that you guys are all set up.
Of course you will.
I'm judging in Rimini. Oh, where your family is all from in Italy.
Yeah.
I'm judging in Rimini, about 45 minutes from Bologna.
Oh, nice.
And it won't, you know, it's a sacrifice, but.
So yeah, it'll be sucks. Me and you.
All right, good. And we won't be in Italy.
I could call in, though.
Okay, we'll do that.
I'll call in.
Jay Brooks, great beer writer and author, and you guys, it's so cool. Give my best to everyone at Oliver's, Wade and Sean, because it's so cool what you guys are doing and what Oliver's has been doing for all these years.
I do want to introduce real quick Sarah Cummings, who's the marketing director over at
Oliver's.
Hi,
Sarah!
She is a trombone player with the Soul Section and a few other bands.
I know them.
Steve's a musician, so I thought he could. She's a blast to watch, but she's also a businesswoman. But it's really fun to see her play music. And thanks for connecting me with us.
Fun fact, you know who else in the brewing world is a trombone player?
I do not.
Dan Gordon from Gordon Biersch is a jazz trombonist.
Yeah. I knew that because Dean Biersch is a good friend of ours, and the two of them have been in before.
Sure.
Jay, great to see you guys. You too. Thanks so much.